That song was good.
That's a good song.
It very much is. Thank you, guys. You guys did a good job. We missed y'all last week. All right. I'm going to finish up Romans chapter 8 this week. Is that somebody's phone? Go ahead and get there. We'll wait on you. Go ahead and get there, whoever that is. Don't show me. Set free from me. For the past couple of weeks, I found out that's our biggest enemy is ourselves. And I gave you seven weapons of self-destruction last week that I've kind of discovered over the years, and it really has kind of hit me. And this week, some of you guys meet with some of you guys in private. And let me just go over with you real quick those seven weapons again that are destroying ourselves. We're destroying ourselves with, number one, shame. We're destroying ourselves with uncontrolled thoughts. We're destroying ourselves with, number three, compulsions. Number four, fear. Five, hopelessness. Six, bitterness. And seven, insecurity. These things we're allowing to destroy us. And they're hitting to us. And so I gave you three antidotes last week. The first three, the antidote to shame was, I must remind myself daily what Jesus did for me. Hey, we got to do this daily. Jesus, you died for me. Me, little old me. You gave your life for me. And here I am crucifying myself every day over my past. I'm going to remind that you paid for that, and I can quit paying for it. The second thing was uncontrolled thoughts. This is kind of simple, but we forget it a lot. It's really simple advice. I asked the Holy Spirit to give me better thoughts. Just ask. You got to stop and ask. When your mind's wandering somewhere else, I call it turning the channel. When you're thinking about something else, just say, Holy Spirit, let me think of something besides that. It'll happen. You see, guys, as Christians, we have access to incredible power that we hardly ever use. And it's the Holy Spirit. And we might as well stop being afraid of the Holy Spirit. We got to stop being afraid. I spoke with a man this week that's afraid of the Holy Spirit. Oh, yeah. Number three that we talked about last week was, I realize I have a new ability to say no. Y'all remember last week I've had men come into my office and say, Jim, I just couldn't help myself. I couldn't stop myself. Everything was in a snowball and it got in the middle and I just couldn't say no. That's a lie. That's a lie. With the Holy Spirit, if you're a Christian with the Holy Spirit, you have a new ability to say no. Amen. There is no temptation that can overcome you as long as you live with the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can say no. You can say no. We'll jump right into number four real quick. Got your pens? You wrote down those seven fears. If you missed it last week, go ahead and get it. But number four is this. I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. I need to turn my thoughts to God whenever I'm afraid. This is the fourth antidote to the self-destructive weapon of fear. Guys, you're going to, I hope you fall in love with Romans chapter 8 like I have. And out of the whole thing, the last two verses are my favorite, but don't go to them right now. 14 through 16 says, those who are led by God's Spirit are God's children. For the Spirit that God has given you does not make you slaves and cause you to be afraid. Instead, the Spirit makes you God's children. And by the Spirit's power, we cry out to God, Father, my Father. God's Spirit joins himself to our spirits to declare that we are God's children. That's a powerful, powerful verse. Abba, Daddy. You know, many of us, especially when we were children, when we were scared, is what I call it, we'd call out to our dad. You know, the other day, my daughter had a wreck. Somebody rear-ended her. Guess who she called? Dad. Daddy. Now, I don't know what it is about daddies but and daughters, but they think that we can just do anything. They think that she still thinks that I can fix anything. And she calls me when she calls out. And it's just and that's exactly what this verse is saying is this. Stop focusing on your fears and focus on your Heavenly Father. Stop focusing on your fears. See, many times that's what we do. We focus on Him. And there's the antidote. I'm going to give you two antidotes to fear real quick that this verse is telling me. I love this verse. Says this. The spirit that God has given you doesn't make you slaves or afraid. That don't come from God. Because the spirit that God has given you doesn't enslave you. It doesn't make you afraid. What it does is makes you God's children. So I want to tell you this. When you're afraid, I want you to remember whose family that you're a part of. You're a son of God. You're a daughter of God. You're a child of God. And I'm going to tell you something. Families take care of one another, don't you? They take care of one another. Many of you guys know I work for the funeral home too. And a lot of people die in the middle of the night. I don't know if y'all know that or not. And I go out by myself. I don't like the dark. And I'm already kind of going into what some would say a spooky situation. Here I am driving a hearse, 2:00 in the morning. But I've gotten to a habit, because I know the fear is coming. When I get out in my truck at 1:30, 2:30 in the morning, and I know fear is coming, I slam the truck, and here's what I say. Do you know who I am? I say it out loud, too, just in case demons can hear. I said, do you know who I am? I don't tell him I got a Glock. Because sometimes I ain't got the Glock. So I'm just going on my name. And my name is, this is what I tell him when I go in the door. This is who I am. I'm a child of the King. I'm a son of God. And I'm joint heirs to the throne of Christ. That's what I say every time. Scared will make you recite scripture. And I do this a lot. And a peace comes over me. Because that fear is gone. See, where Jesus is, fear can't be. So next time you're afraid, just shout to that fear. Do you know who I am? You know who my daddy is? He created this earth. You better get out of this garage. Because I'm pretty sure you don't want to fool with him. Amen? Shoot. The second thing is you call out to your father. Abba, daddy. You know what most people are afraid of? I know that there's a lot of books and stuff out there that tell you public speaking and things like that. But here's what I believe as a pastor, people coming to me and this is what I believe the number one fear is. For 19 years, the number one fear, I believe, is being out of control. I believe being out of control is the number one fear. Because when you fear that your life is out of control, it creates enormous fear in your life. It really does. And the longer that you think it's out of control, you think you're out of control. And then you start thinking, well just maybe I'm losing my mind. I'm serious. You think that you're going crazy and fear sets in. Haven't we all felt that way before? Well, I want to tell you something. You're not going crazy because crazy people don't fear that. They don't fear that. Crazy people are very happy to be crazy and they just don't care. That's the truth. I'm telling you the truth. They don't care. The very fact that you're afraid of going crazy makes you rational. Amen? Because you don't want to go crazy. You're not crazy. You may be broken, but you're not crazy. Everybody say this with me. I'm broken, but I'm not crazy. That sings, don't it? I'm broken, but I ain't crazy. Neither are you. Crazy people don't care. They enjoy being crazy. I'm going to give you a verse to change my life. Write this down. It's not in your outline. 2 Timothy 1:7. For you folks you that are fear of losing control to the Holy Spirit. For God gave us a spirit not of fear, but of power and love and self-control. I want you to write that down now. 2 Timothy 1:7. I want you to go, this verse changed my life. Because the more controlled that you are by the Holy Spirit, the more self-controlled that you're going to be. I'm telling you, I talked to a man this week, and I could tell he's just afraid to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Because folks think that they're filled with the Holy Spirit, they're going to start talking funny. They're going to start dressing funny. They're going to start walking funny. They're just afraid. But it's actually the opposite what the verse says. The more filled you are with the Holy Spirit, the more self-controlled that you are. That's what the verse says. So if you're afraid, it ain't from God. It's just not from God. Because when God's Spirit comes into your life, you're filled with love, power, and self-control. Not fear. It is not from God. So I'm telling you, when I read that verse, I say, Holy Spirit, I want all you got. I want the love. I want the power. I want the self-control. And that don't make me a nutcase. Being filled with the Holy Spirit, it makes me self-controlled. It makes me powerful. It makes me loving. Amen? If you don't want to be filled with that, you're the nutcase. You're the one that's scared. Not me. Because if I'm mastered by the master, I can handle anything. I can handle anything. I'm telling you guys, if you trust me of anything at all, you need more self-control. And the only way to do that is to yield to the Holy Spirit, giving him complete control of your life. Amen. That's the only way. Only way. Number five, the antidote to hopelessness is the mental habit that you need to develop is this. Focus on the long term, not the short term. Focus on the long term, not the short term. Everything that I read, you know, the more long term your thinking is, the more successful you're going to be. That's just the way it is. But the shorter term your thinking is, the more you're apt to fail. The more you're apt to lose. You know, people who fail at life have short term thinking. They're thinking about today. They're thinking about the here and now. And that's short-term thinking. I want to say it again. The long-term thinkers are the most successful in life. And I'm going to tell you something. As a Christian, we got this hands down. We got this hands down. Because when we're thinking, we think long-term. We just call it eternity. And we got this hands down. Our thinking is way past life on earth. And when we can live life in light of eternity, that's the key to successful life. We can live this way in light of eternity. And because when you're thinking long-term, you can handle short-term pain. When you're thinking long-term, you can handle short-term failures a whole lot better. Lots better. I'm going to tell you something. As your pastor, I'm thinking long-term for you. I love this chapter 8, and I've been talking about it for 2 weeks, but I want to see how it affects you 10 years from now. I'm praying that you take that 2 Timothy 1:7 and you hold on to it. I'm praying that you're going to look at Romans 8 and it become a friend of you as it has to me, and it ministered to your life. I'm praying that you step in front of your fears just like I do for the rest of your life and tell that fear, who do you think I am? Who do you think my father is? He ain't gonna appreciate you making me afraid. And I know you can't whoop him. I want you to look at fears like that. Don't let them dominate your life. Focus on the long term of doing the right thing and not the short term pain that you might have to go through. Guys, we're going to get rewarded. Let me read you 8, 17, 18. Let me, before I get into that. Since we read it with me, and I want you to look at some words here. Since we're his children, we will possess the blessings he keeps for his people. And we will also possess with Christ what God has kept for him. For if we share Christ's suffering, we will also share his glory. I consider that what we suffer at this present time cannot be compared at all with the glory that God is going to be revealed to us, that is going to be revealed. We will. When we get to heaven, we will be rewarded for what we did and how we have handled what we have been given. And I like it that we're even going to be rewarded for what Jesus did. We're joint heirs for what he did, heirs with Christ. Focus on the long term. I'm telling you, whatever you're going through right now, the benefits long term will far outlast the pain. And to focus on your short term is foolish. College students, young people, don't focus on the here and now. On the weekend coming up to have fun and all that. Focus on the long term. If you're exercising, this is what I try to tell myself. Jim, don't focus on the pain. Get up, keep going, focus on the long term. 6 months from now, you're going to feel better. You're going to look better. You're going to look good. Paid off, ain't it? Focus on the long term, not the short term. You may be hurting now. Tithing, focus on the long term. It may hurt you to tithe now. Focus on the long term. Discipleship, it may hurt you to get up a little early. Long term is you're going to become a better man. One of the disciples rode with me to pick up a body the other night. He recited scripture to me all the way to Rome. It was good. Amen. He said, I ain't been able to recite my scripture to nobody because I've been working and my mother-in-law passed away. This is Jack Him. My mother-in-law passed away. I've been out of town. He said, Jim, do you mind if I recite scripture to you? I said, Gord head. And he focused on the long term. But see, that paid off, him getting up early in the morning. God, don't focus on the pain. Number 6, the habit you need to develop is this. Remind myself that God is good and in control. I like this. Sometimes I just have to remind myself that he's good. Because this is how God sets us free from the self-destructive weapon of bitterness. Bitterness. And I have to remind myself over and over sometimes, and maybe you do too, that God is good and he is in control. Now Paul reminds us in 19 through 25. I ain't got time to talk about it today. We got a long day, but I want you to go back and read it. But here it is. I'll summarize it. 19 through 25 says, Paul says, how sin has damaged the world, that everything in the world is broken, that everything in the world has lost its original purpose, that everything in the world is suffering, that everything in the world is in pain, that everything in the world is frustrated, all because sin has broken it all down. And the result of this pain is bitterness. In bitterness, we start comparing with what we got to others. We start comparing with what we got, what we don't have, and we get jealous. And we get envious and we become hurtful to other people and we just get bitter. Man, I'm here to tell you, bitterness will eat you up and we got to learn to deal with it. And how we learn to deal with that is to constantly remind ourselves that God is good and he's in control. I'm telling you guys, the result of living in a broken world is pain, and the result of that pain is bitterness. And if we don't deal with that bitterness quick, we're going to get resentful. And the Bible tells us in Romans that there's 4 things that we need to remember to get over that bitterness. Write this down. This was my Facebook status this week. And a lot of you guys enjoyed it. I put it on there. Pain in your life is not optional, but misery is. Pain in your life is not optional, but misery is. You're going to have pain and suffering in your life. That's not an option. But bitterness and misery is optional. And you can overcome misery by remembering four magnificent truths in Romans 8. Let me read you 26 and 27. I love this. Also, the Spirit helps us with our weakness. We do not know how to pray as we should, but the Spirit Himself speaks to God for us and even begs God for us with deep feelings that words cannot explain. God can see what's in our hearts, and the Spirit speaks to God for His purpose in the way God wants. Write this down. The Holy Spirit is praying for me. The Holy Spirit is praying for me. He's talking to Himself on our behalf. You ever been down to pray and you don't even know what to say? I've been down to pray and I just go to groaning and moaning. And it's so exciting to know that the Holy Spirit is praying to Himself for me. When I don't even know the words to say, when I can't pronounce the words to say, and you're not going to know what they are, but I can just moan, I can just groan, and He knows me. And that's a magnificent truth. When I don't know what to say, He does. He does. The Holy Spirit prays for me. He's praying for me right now, and He's praying for you. The second thing is this, is that God is using it all for good. He's using it all for good. Not everything that happens to us is good, but God uses it for good. Let me clear that up. Not everything is good. Verse 28, one of the most famous verses of all. And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. When I read this, I just want to say God is bigger than my problems. God is bigger than my enemies. God is bigger than my critics. God is good and He's in control. He's in control. The third thing I want you to remember is this. Write this down. God wants me to succeed. Did you know that? Did you know that? He doesn't want you and me to fail. God is not against you. He is for you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, God is for you. Let me read you verse 31. And this ought to put some smoke in your pipe. So what we can say about such wonderful things as these, if God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be against you? My Father is God. Who do you think I am? My Father's God. The fourth thing I want you to remember is this. God will give me what I need. He'll give me what I need. God is good and He's in control. Verse 32 says this. Since God did not spare even His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't God, who gave us Christ, also give us everything else? If God loved you enough to let Jesus Christ, His Son, die on the cross for you, don't you think He cares about your debt? Don't you think He cares about your health? When your face breaks out, don't you think He cares? Don't you think He cares? When you lose your billfold, don't you think He cares? My son is just like me. Both of us lost our billfold the last 3 days. But I'm a little older and more mature than him. Plus, I've lost mine a lot more than he has. But he just got his license back from the DDS Wednesday and his debit card back, bought him a new billfold. Bam! He lost it again. I lost mine too. I hadn't seen mine in 3 days, 2 days. I wasn't sweating. Because if God loved me enough to send Jesus Christ to die for me, He can find my billfold. If God loves me enough to save me and change me from my awful ways that was leading me to self-destruction, If I don't find my billfold, I can get a new driver's license. And if somebody uses my debit card, who do you think I am? Well, Luke still ain't found his. I found mine. He come out. We were going somewhere. He's just frustrated because he can't find it. Lips all poked out. I tried to encourage him. When he come out, I'm sitting in the car, and I reached down. I found it in Angie's car. I don't know how it got there. I usually blame Angie on stuff like that. I felt it. It was just perfect timing. Right when he come out, I went like this. I meant for it to encourage him. Y'all know what I'm saying? I wanted to say, he likes me better than he likes you. He loves you, but I'm his favorite. Amen. All that to say is there's nothing in your life that's too small for God. Nothing in your life is too big for God either. Everything else, if he can take care of our sin problem, everything else is small potatoes. Everything else. Number 7, last mental checkup. Trust that God will never stop loving me. This is one of my favorites. If I boiled it down, I had to boil it down to 2 verses, this would be it. This is the last mental habit, this trusting that God will never stop loving me, of insecurity. Insecurity can really mess up your life. A lot of it stems from rejection. Rejection and insecurity are the worst fear we've had. It really is. And many of you folks here today have experienced rejection, maybe even from your parents. You know how you say, why can't you be like your brother? You know, why can't you be like your sister? We had a little birthday party for my great nephew yesterday. He's just 5. We had a big pool party. Me and Luke were the only adults in the pool. Everybody else was 5. Or gonna be 5. You know, they all want you to, you know, throw me, Uncle Sonny, throw me. I want to throw you on the concrete, what I really want to do. But anyway, so I threw him for a little while. But we had a big time. And when our family gets together, you know, they all kid me about being the favorite, mama's boy. And so I was remembering this sermon. I said, yeah, I was the one. Mama said, why can't y'all be like Sonny? But, you know, and just joking around. We joke around that a lot, but sometimes you live that. And sometimes you feel that rejection. You may have been rejected by a boyfriend or a girlfriend or a spouse. And I'm telling you, rejection hurts. It hurts, and it's a sting that's really, really hard to get over. Nothing hurts more than rejection. But the one thing that I can tell you this, I can assure you, as this, that God will never reject you. And that God will never stop loving you. I want you to read this with me. You don't have to say it out loud. I'm going to say it with enthusiasm. I just want you to grab hold. I am convinced that nothing can separate us from his love. Death can and life can. The angels can and the demons can. Our fears for today, our worries about tomorrow, and even the powers of hell can't keep God's love away. Whether we are high above the sky or in the deepest ocean, nothing in all creation will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen. God will never stop. I may lose a lot of things in life. I may lose another billfold, but I will never lose my salvation. God will never stop loving me. Once you had God's hand, he ain't letting go. You may want to let go, but he ain't letting go of you. You cannot lose your salvation. Someone very close to me come one time when they started thinking on their own, 16 to 17 years old, and said, all right, all this ain't true. This went on for several days of wanting to debate and all this. I said, I'm tired of it. Let me tell you something. According to Romans 8, 38, 39, you are saved and you cannot lose your salvation. You may want to let go, but he ain't letting go. Now shut up telling me that you don't believe. I'm claiming the scripture. I'm claiming the promise. That you are saved, you are a child of the King. No matter how much you want to run away, he coming to get you. And he got him. You claim Romans 8, 38. That's just something for some of y'all. But the question I have for you is, do you belong to Christ? Because if you don't belong to Christ, none of these are true in your life. None of this chapter applies to you. Do you have the Holy Spirit in your life? If you don't, I want to make certain of it today. And in saying that, bow your head. I want to pray for you. This whole series of Romans chapter 8. Dear Jesus, musicians, come on up. Thank you for everything that you did for me, Jesus. I now have no condemnation in my life. You did what the law couldn't do. You destroyed Jesus' sin's control over me. It is your righteousness. It is what you did on the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me better thoughts. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me, oh Holy Spirit, then a new ability to say no. To say no. That I don't live by just my willpower no more, but by a spirit power that is given to me. I am your child. I will no longer focus on my fears. I will focus on you, Father. Father God, help me to focus on the long term, not the short term pain that we're in. Lord, help me to use that pain for your good. Help me to do the right thing, Lord, when it's easier to do the wrong thing. You, God, are good, and you are in control. Thank you, Lord. I can't thank you enough for praying for me when I didn't know what to say. And you prayed for me. Thank you that you are not against me, that you are for me. Thank you for never letting me go, for never stop loving me. Thank you, Lord, for never rejecting me. Others may criticize me. Others may reject me, but you are consistently loving, and you will never reject me. And so, Lord, today, I want you to be my Lord. I want you to be the Savior of my life. I don't understand everything that he's talking about. But, Lord, please forgive me, Jesus. I want to trust you completely. I know I probably won't give it all to you today, but I eventually want you to be completely the Lord of my life. So, Jesus, accept me by my faith into your family, Jesus. It's in your name that I pray. Amen.